Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Has anyone ever broken a promise made to you? Have you ever broken a promise that you made? I don't know of anyone who could say no to either of those questions. In fact, it happens so often in our world today that we even have a saying about it. Promises are made to be broken. Meaning, promises are made with really no intention of keeping them. That secret you promised not to tell a soul? But I just had to tell someone. What about the marriage vow? To be faithful unto death? How many routinely or sometimes serially break that? It's hard to keep promises. Times change. Situations change. The quote I mentioned, "Promises are made to be broken," actually originally was, when it was coined in the 17th century, "Promises like pie crust are made to be broken. They are by nature fragile and not meant to last." Well, we've come a long way from another saying about promises. This one by a 4th century BC man, Aristotle. He said, "A promise made must be a promise kept." Promises just aren't thought of that way anymore. If I can, I will. If I feel like it, I will. As long as it doesn't cost me too much, I will. As long as nothing better or more important comes along, I will. Those are more likely. So maybe in our day and age, we need a new saying. A new saying to reflect the times. Something like, "Promises, like the date on a gallon of milk, are meant to expire. They're only good for so long. And after that, well, you're on your own." Well, this change has come at a cost. Broken marriages, broken friendships, a general lack of trust has settled in. No one expects people, like politicians, to keep their promises anymore. We hope they do, but aren't we surprised when they do? Like something weird and unusual just happened. And when you learn that you cannot rely on someone else, then it's every man for himself. You are the only one you can count on, which is sad. That's not how we were created to be. It is not good for the man to be alone. Satan continues to divide and conquer. But not just to divide us from one another, but to divide us from God. To divide us from God by getting us to project our unreliability, our untrustworthiness upon God. So, for example, does God hear your prayer? Well, he promised to, but that's Satan hissing into your ear. But can you rely on that promise? Can you trust God? Doesn't it really depend on whether you're worthy, whether you're good enough and praying the right way? And what about forgiveness? Does God fully and freely forgive you? Well, he promised to, but haven't you sinned too much? You don't really think he will forgive you over and over and over again, do you? Would you? And with this, faith is eroded. Little by little, bit by bit. For we put our faith in the words and promises of God that what he said, he will do. That what he promised, he will fulfill. But if we can't trust those promises, then where does our faith go? On myself. To make myself worthy. To make myself deserving of God's favor. And when that happens, Satan will do one of two things. He will make you proud. That you are, in fact, doing just that. You are worthy, better than most. Why, you don't even really need God that much. Just a bit, you know, now and then. Until now becomes less and less, and then becomes more and more, and God gradually fades from your life. Or, if not that, then Satan will crush you with despair. That you'll never be worthy, you'll never be good enough, you're nothing to God. So in the first case, God becomes nothing to you. And in the second case, you become nothing to God, and the division is complete. You may not be at either of those places right now, but don't think you are immune. Who among us hasn't been prideful? Who among us hasn't despaired? Who among us hasn't been led a step or two down that road? Or many steps. For Satan trying to tempt us and lead us and lure us away from God, I've been down both those roads. You? Now, I bring all this up about promises because today we heard of our God who both makes and keeps his promises. Not sometimes, not only when it's convenient, not only when it's easy, not only when you deserve it, but because he is faithful and trustworthy. A God we can rely on and count on and believe in. A God who will lay down his life for us to save us. And so today, as we heard, Jesus goes to Jerusalem to die. We heard him say those words again. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. But this is not the first time Jesus spoke such words. It is, in fact, the third time that we are told of. So today was from Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 8... Jesus told his disciples this, but with even stronger words. This must happen, he says. And it must because he promised. And then in Mark chapter 9, Jesus tells them again, right after the glory of his transfiguration. There he says, this is going to happen. Despite the glory you have just seen, he is going to fulfill this promise to lay down his life for the life of the world. And then here in chapter 10, he says it for the third time, this time saying, this will happen. They are now very near Jerusalem, and when they get there, this will happen. And then in Mark chapter 11, in words we will hear next week, Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to die. The week begins with Jesus being hailed as king. And, maybe things will be all right after all. But what Jesus says must happen, is going to happen, and will happen, does happen. And the week will end with King Jesus on a cross-shaped throne of wood. Promise kept. We'll hear the details all next week that this was no easy promise keeping, from his agony in the garden to his betrayal, to the mock trials and false witnesses, to his abuse by the soldiers, his flogging by Pilate, and then the pain of the cross. But those words, those promises are ironclad. What he says, he does. What he promises, he fulfills. Reliable, trustworthy, faithful. That is your God. And we need to keep hearing that. Yes, you know, right? But we need to keep hearing it because Satan keeps telling us different. Hissing into your ear, wanting you to doubt. Telling you those buts. And the world keeps telling us different. And our own experience keeps telling us different. Our own experience with the broken promises and the hollow and the shallow promises of the world. But our God is different. And Jesus shows us that. Making his way to Jerusalem, knowing what will happen there. But he will not be deterred. Your life is far too important for him not to go. For if Jesus was going to give up on anybody, it would have been his disciples. The first time he told them of his crucifixion, Peter rebukes him. The second time he tells them, they argue about which one of them is the greatest. And then today, the third time, James and John can only think of their own glory and getting the places of honor. Really? But Jesus does not give up on them. He does not give up on you. Jesus fulfills his high priestly vocation. He establishes the New Testament in his blood, so that what he said through the prophet Jeremiah is true. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That has to be one of the sweetest and most comforting promises in all of Scripture. Your iniquity, your guilt is forgiven. And your sin, all your evil thoughts and words and deeds and desires are remembered. No more. Which does not mean that an all-knowing God forgot them. We forget things. We forget things because our brains don't work as they should. God doesn't forget as we do. Rather, he says, I will remember their sins no more. That's different. When you forget something, you might unforget it later. It might come back to your mind. But not with God. Because he didn't just forget your sins. He dealt with them. He took them away from you and put them on his son on the cross. And Jesus paid the price for them with his death, was buried in the tomb, and then rose without them. They're not coming back. And so your sins cannot separate you from God anymore. The division that Satan seeks and is working for has been overcome by Jesus. By the one who was God and man in one person. Overcoming that division in his own flesh and blood. Now, I think it's interesting, I hope I'm not the only one, but I think it's interesting that around these three statements of Jesus, his death and resurrection, bracketing them, Jesus gives sight to men who are blind. So just before the first time he speaks of his cross, he heals a blind man. And right after the one we heard today, the third time he speaks of his cross, he heals another blind man. Could be coincidence or not. Maybe Jesus on the cross is what opens our eyes and enables us to see God as he really is. The promise-keeping, reliable, steadfast, trustworthy, faithful God. And that he is not that sometimes. And not only when it's convenient. And not only when it's easy. And not only when you deserve it. But even when it meant the death of his own son. So as we've been singing all this Lenten season, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. For that is what makes all the difference in the world. The difference while we live and the difference when we die. The difference when things are going well and the difference when things are falling apart. The difference when we are filled with pride and the difference when we are filled with despair. Through all the ups and downs of this world and life, that is what remains the same. Constant and unchangeable, the love of God for you in Christ. In Christ crucified. The Word of God made flesh, and the Word of God who fulfills all the words and promises of God. All for you, for your life, for your salvation. So come now and fix your eyes on Jesus, your eyes of faith. As he comes and feeds you with his body and blood. Here is the New Testament in his blood. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as you hear every week, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of the faithful and steadfast one, will keep and preserve you steadfast unto everlasting life. And you can depart in peace. So are you a sinner? Come, take and eat. Are you a promise breaker? Come, take and eat. Have you been prideful or despairing toward God? Come, take and eat. Have your prayers and good works faltered? Come, take and eat. Have you doubted God and his love for you? Come, take and eat. And are you sorry for who you are and what you have been and want to do better? Come, take and eat. And then depart in peace. Because your guilt is forgiven and he remembers your sin no more. Not now, not ever. He promised. And this season of Lent shows us. Promise fulfilled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.